Thank you. Luke chapter number 18. I was warned not to go into your lunch period. All right, so I promise I won't. Luke 18. It's right after Mark for all you seniors. Any seniors here? One. Okay. Two. Three? All right. Luke chapter number 18. Wannabe senior, is that what it is? Luke chapter number 18. Yes, that crazy guy here in January is my father. Don't hold that against me. I love him. He's a good guy. He's been not only a great father, but he's been a great pastor to me. And I couldn't ask for anything more than that. But you got there, Luke 18. We're going to start reading. Verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said with himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, just be with this message. Lord, help me convey the truth. May nothing I speak, nothing I say be my own power or my own glory. But Lord, may you speak through me. And Lord, may these young folks, and myself included, and everyone that's here today, walk out of here with a better zeal and a better knowledge and understanding of you. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, I can look back now and look at my life as I've been growing up, and I can characterize my life in three words. There's three words I can say that it pretty much was my goal, my motto. You know, I got my own motto. And my goal that I always said that this is me. This is the thing that I always say in troubled time. When things are going hard, this is what I always say. When maybe finances are tight, or when I was looking to decide to go to college and things just didn't seem to work out. Three words. Three words. I always said, three words. Those three words was never give up. Never give up. And those were words that my father told me as I was growing up. He said, Matt, never give up. Never give up. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, and when we look at this, I see somebody here. And we're going to look into this, and we're going to look at this lady here. But before we look at her, I want to tell you about a gentleman I know that I went to college. Anybody here plan on going to college sometime? All right. Well, over by, yeah, everybody else is. I better, huh? Yeah. When I was in college, there's this one guy named Mike Simmons. Started the same year I did at college. And I went to college over right on Lake Michigan there, right outside of Chicago. And this guy, Mike, was there. I finished up my 4 years, and Mike still had some more to go, classes to go. So he said, I'll be finishing up, and he said, we'll have to keep in touch. And said, all right. Well, about 3 or 4 years went by after I left college, and I came across somebody who was going to that college there, and I said, hey, I haven't heard from this guy, Mike Simmons, at all. Have you heard from him? And they said, yeah, he's still going to school there. I was like, wow. And then, not too long ago, this past summer, I got a letter from Mike. 12 years removed from college, from myself, or 12 years since I first started college, I get the letter saying, I'm finally graduating from college. It took him 12 years. It took him 12 years to get through college. So then I had to talk to Mike. I had to talk to this guy. I had to say, hey, you know, Wow. So I talking to Mike, he said, you know what? He said, man, so many times I just wanted to quit. So many times I just wanted to just, you know, say, it's not worth it. But he said, I just wasn't going to give up. I just wasn't going to give up. And it took him 12 years to get through college. Now, I don't know if I had that kind of gumption. But that's, I sit back there and I say, man, that's a lot of tuition right there. That's a lot of money. But 12 years, and he said, listen, I'm not giving up. And he was determined to finish what he'd started. Now in Luke chapter number 18, let's take a look here at something. Here we see a parable of a widowed lady. And she says, and she spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. And then verse 2 saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So there was a judge who had no fear of God. There was a judge who had no regard for man. One of those mean judges. Somebody, you know, you wouldn't want to go in front of. One of those judges you wouldn't want to be in front of at all. You know, just, he would sentence you to jail for years and he wouldn't give you any compassion. And all. That's what kind of judge we're talking about here. A judge that had absolutely no compassion for anybody. And then we find in verse number 3, and there was a widow in that city. And there was, she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversaries. So she went into this judge, this widow lady went into the judge and said, hey, can you avenge me of all my adversaries? Can you avenge me? Could you forget them? Could you drop everything? Maybe all the money I owe, drop that. Maybe everything I did to people, drop all of it. All of it. Now, I gotta remember, this judge was not the most kindest judge in the world. And she was here, persistently going after this judge. Persistently going after that. And taking her case before the judge. Even though this judge was unloving, uncaring, couldn't afford. She couldn't afford a high-priced lawyer, so she goes to, I mean, she couldn't afford Johnny Cochran. She couldn't afford getting these high lawyers of the day to come before the judge to, no, she went to the judge herself. And she was persistent in that. You ever have one of those days where you just wanted to throw up your arms, throw up, say, forget it. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Man, I just can't seem to get this. I can't seem to do it. You know, I'm old enough to know that the Lord wants me to do something. And He calls me and tells me to do something. He gives me the will and the power to be able to do it. What you're looking at here right now is a miracle. When I was in 10th grade, any 10th graders, sir? 10th grade. No 10th graders. One 10th grader. Took you a while. Sorry, I understand. When I was in 10th grade, I was thrown into a preaching competition in Newington, Connecticut. I was scared to death to get in front of people and speak. I didn't want to do it. I couldn't do it, man. So I remember I went up there, and you want to know, they had judges in the room. And those judges were there, to make a long story short, the judges were there, I preached. They gave me 15 minutes to preach. I preached everything I knew from Genesis to Revelation, the maps and the concordances. Then when I was all done, the judges looked at me and said, listen, that was good, but we have a little problem with your time. I said, really? They said, yeah, you only went 5 minutes. And you want to know, but they looked, they said, here's what we're going to do. And they said, we want you to preach the closing ceremonies tonight in front of people. So I asked them, how many people are going to be there? They said, well, usually we average about 1,000. I mean, I'm a short guy, but I got a whole lot shorter at that point. And they said, yeah, we want you to preach in front of 1,000 people tonight. Now, listen. Somebody that was scared to death of me to get in front of anybody to preach, but I knew God was calling me. I was in the bathroom throwing up hours before. I was so nervous. Hey, I mean, maybe for you that's something easy to do, get in front of all. For me, it wasn't easy. It was something that I had to work with. The Lord had to show me. And so I got up in front and at those people, and I must have looked sick. I must have looked pale. And I remember my knees were knocking. I could hear them. That's how loud they were. Good thing it was one of them big, huge pulpits. So people couldn't see my knees knocking, but I'm sure they heard them. I'd be like, what's that sound? And I was just so nervous, and I was there shaking, and I got up in front. I just looked out in front of everybody, 1,000 people. Didn't know what to do. Didn't have a clue. I had my notes in front of me, but I just froze and went blank. So I pretty much started reading my notes, and I made a bunch of mistakes. To make a long story short, because I won't go into it here, but I called a bunch of people that were young, old. A big mistake. And they all greeted me afterwards. I told them, everybody, if you're 40 and over, you're old. It was a slip of the tongue. Well, every woman that was 40 and over came and met me there that night, all 500 of them. They met me that night. But you want to know something? I got through it. And the whole time, I was saying, I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give up. And let's take a look. And there's 3 points I want to look at this lady, this widow who took her case to the judge. 3 points we want to look at today, how she never gave up. In 3 years, she never gave up on. And if you get nothing out of this today, I mean, just remember these points later on in life. Remember them when you're going through a hard time. Remember them when you're looking for God's will in your life. Remember them when you're looking for what God wants you to do. Remember these points. The first thing we want to look at is don't ever give up on yourself. This widowed lady never gave up on herself. She had no power. She had no status. But she was confident enough in herself to take her case to the judge. She took her own case to the judge without any money, without no status. I mean, you ever hear all those stories about famous people who commit a crime, they get off the hook? Why? Because famous. They have status. Whereas if you have somebody who has no status, maybe somebody off the street, it's not as easy for them. Why? Because they don't have any status. They're not powerful. They don't have any influences. It's not right, I agree. But you know what this woman said? Listen, I'm going to take my case and I'm going to take this to the judge. And she took her own case here to the judge. And we need not to give up on ourselves. I've seen too many young people, teenagers, your age, when it was over to the youth pastor, they gave up on themselves. They said, God can't use me. God can never use me. Listen, you let God mold you and He will use you. He will use you. You know why people don't yield to God's will? It's because you don't let God mold you. Let God mold you. Let God mold you into His will. Let Him use you. Say, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go to school, I will go. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. See, I prayed that and my fears came true. But you know what? The Lord quickly showed me that if I just put all my faith and trust and confidence in Him, He takes care of everything. And I was determined I wasn't going to give up on myself, even though I called all those people old. I said, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to still keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. Oh, too many young people giving up on themselves. Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I've already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You say, Brother Susan, you don't know my background. You're right, I don't, but God does. You say, you don't know what I'm dealing with and what sin I'm dealing with and what I got to go through. You're right, I don't, but God does. And He's the one that can help you get through it. He's the one that can take you through it. Listen, I've worked a lot in the city. I've done a lot of, and I'm not too far from New York City. I've done a lot of preaching in New York City. They need it down there. I've done a lot of preaching down in New York City in the subways and talked to teenagers on the streets and adults on the streets. And let me tell you something. So many young people have given up on themselves. Oh, don't ever give up on yourself. God's got something He wants you to do. Mold yourself. Let yourself be molded. Let yourself be yielded. The Bible says they're forgetting about those things which are behind. Look forth to those things that are in front of you. You say, well, you know, I can't do it. Well, you know what? I was determined when I was your age to do something that was, for me, seemed impossible. And that was run in a mile competition with all the others, with other schools. Now, somebody in my stature, short, doesn't run the mile very well. I got the short legs. They're not that tall. But you want to know something? I got in front of that line. I remember getting ready to run. I practiced and practiced and practiced. I got in front of that line to race. And you want to know? Well, first was running through my mind saying, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I kept thinking, oh, I'm not going to give up. And I, you know what I did? I took my Bible. I had a little New Testament Bible, put that thing in my hand, and got there in the starting line. I remember as I was standing there in the starting line, I started looking at my competition. These guys are huge. I mean, I'm going up to their waist. I'm like, man, I got the legs this tall. Look at these guys, man. They're, you know, three steps, they got their mile over with. And I figure I'm going to have to run, you know, I'm going to have to take five times more steps than these guys. So, anyway, so we started running. Then I started running. Ooh, we started running. And I was practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing up to this point. So I thought I had a down pat. But I made the mistake of, since these guys are so tall, I figured I better start sprinting right off the gate. So I ran right off the right, and it was a quarter mile track, so I had to run it four times. I ran right out of the gate, everything I had. I was running, man. And I remember I was about ready to collapse. And I looked over, I said, hey, how many laps do I got? They said, you got three more laps. I said, oh, I'm never going to make it. Never going to make it. So I kept running some more. And I said, this got to be the last lap. I said, you only ran two laps. I thought I was going to die. I really did. I thought I was going to die. You ever run so hard and get pushed? Maybe a coach, a basketball coach, or somebody pushed you so hard, you're just hurting inside tremendously. I was out of shape, I guess. But I'm like, I was cramping up. My legs, my stomach, everything was cramping up on me. And I still had two more laps to go, and I didn't think I could run anymore. I remember I finished that third lap. I didn't think I could run anymore. I was just about ready to collapse. And I kept thinking, God, I can do it. I know I can do it. I said, no, I'm not going to give up on myself. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. But my body was telling me, hey, you ain't keep going. You're stopping right here. So one of my friends got up. And he was inside the track. And he started, not in the track, but in the grass, running along the side with me. I was like, wow. And so he was encouraging me. Somebody was encouraging me. And I wasn't ready to give up myself. And I remember I crossed that finish line. Fell down. I didn't get up for about 15 minutes. Started walking away. They said, where are you going? I said, I accomplished my goal. I finished. So that was my goal. They looked at me and they said, no. You got to get up there for the medal ceremony. You won. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. You know why? Because I didn't give up on myself. And this woman, this widow woman here, never gave up on herself either. She never gave up on herself. And she was persistent in taking her case to the judge and wasn't going to give up on herself. And she strived for the mark. Strive for a mark. Strive for a spiritual goal. Listen, you may say, well, God's calling me into a field, maybe a doctor or a nurse. That is great. We need good, godly Christian doctors and nurses. We need Christian lawyers. We need them. But set a mark, set a goal in your life, and don't give up till you reach that goal. Not only does she not give up on herself, but she also never gave up on others. When we see there in verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came and said, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. Look at verse 5. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. See, this widowed woman here kept going and going. I think she just bugged him. She was so persistent, kept going to the judge, kept going and going and going and going. So the judge said, listen, I don't regard man, I don't care about man, I don't care about God, but I'm going to avenge this woman of all her adversaries. You say, well, what was the difference? She not only didn't give up on herself, but she never gave up on others. She never gave up on that judge. I'm so glad that people and my father and my principal in high school never gave up on me. He cared about others. Oh, and I tell you, my principal made me do some crazy things. He's the one that introduced me to going down into the subways of New York and street preaching. He said, come on, we're going. And we went all night long. We went to Grand Central Station, and he was a crazy pastor. He had one of these big trucks, made a platform that comes down the side. So we parked right in front of Grand Central Station, pulled down the platform. He gets up there, and we start preaching. And you want to know something, though? What did that do? That taught me. He didn't realize it, or maybe he did, but he wasn't giving up on me. You see, because when I was your age, I wanted nothing to do with God. I really didn't. When I was your age in ninth grade and part of 10th grade, I wanted nothing to do with God. I didn't want nothing to do. I said, my father's a pastor. I don't want to preach. I want nothing with God. I want to go my own life. I want to go my own way. But people never gave up on me. I had young people in my youth group from the city who weren't the most educated when it came to being in church. But you want to know something? I never gave up on them. And this widow woman wasn't ready to give up on others with this judge. She wasn't going to give up on this judge. She wasn't going to give up on others. And because God never gave up on me, and I had people that never gave up on me, and that's what I'm going to attribute. And I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm really not. I'm nobody. I'm just like you. I'm just like you are. I'm nobody special. You know what? God can use you. But it's all in a matter of, are you going to let him? And when you see others, and you may look, you know, there's these people in my church that started coming to church when I was an assistant pastor. These people came into church, and they weren't really dressed for church. They just moved here from California, and each person must have had at least 50 to 60 piercings in the face. Now we can look at those people and say, you're of the world, what are you doing? Or we can look at them, have compassion, and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says. Don't give up on. And you know, we were determined as a church not to give up on these folks. They needed the gospel. They needed Jesus Christ. And we were going to show them with compassion. So we said, we're going to look at people and just judge them by their outward appearance and just judge them. Instead of having compassion, say, you know, listen, don't give up on that person. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on that person. Anyone knows those people? They ended up getting saved. They want to get rid of a lot of this stuff that they had there. Why? All because people never didn't give up on them. And they said, you would not believe, tears coming down their eyes, they said, you would not believe how many people I've talked to, how many people I've seen, the churches we've been to, that didn't want us there because of the way we looked. They didn't want us there because we looked a certain way. But yet, we had compassion. We brought them in. They got saved, and their ways changed. Why? Because we didn't give up on others. Don't ever give up on others. Don't ever give up on them. People will let you down. People close to you will let you down. But don't ever give up on them. Oh, that's why I look at it because I say, man, look at my life. Pastor Townsley in Southington, Connecticut never gave up on me. Never did. And it came to the point where I went to a Christian school like the one you're in today. You want to know something? Because he never gave up on me. And this widow we see, she never gave up, and it's a perfect illustration here. She never gave up on the judge. You want to know something? My 11th grade year of high school. I didn't have a senior year. I graduated from 11th grade. But my 11th year of high school because someone didn't give up on me. I let God mold me and make me what I needed to be. You want to know something? What a difference that made in my life and what a difference that made in my Christian school. You know what I started doing? I went to Pastor Tom and said, hey, can we have a prayer meeting every morning before school? He said, go right ahead. So before school, we used to meet. And we used to meet there. And you wanted, we used to sit there and pray and say, God, send revival to our school. God, save souls. God, may hearts be right with you. God, may you do this. May you do that, God. And hardly a few people were coming. But it wasn't going to stop us from giving up on our student body. And I was, because people did not give up on me, I was not going to give up on others. So I got there and I prayed every morning, every day, from month to month, until finally at the end of the year, I wasn't going to give up. I just kept praying, God, you're going to do something in the school. You're going to bring something in the school. We need to have a spirituality back in this school. We need to have you prevalent and back here in this school. Because too many people in the school, and I have no idea what this school is like. So I have no idea. I'm just telling you what my school was like then. But there was no spirituality. Kids didn't read their Bibles. Kids didn't care about chapel. Kids, it was just, school was a social gathering with a chapel service is pretty much what it was. Nobody talked about spiritual things. A lot of guys would tell bad, dirty jokes that were off-colored and just weren't right. You want to know something? Towards the end of that school year, I said, God, people didn't give up on me. You never gave up on me. I'm not giving up on this school. Student body! I prayed day in, day out, and sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four, sometimes five, sometimes six, sometimes seven, sometimes 10 people would come pray with me in the morning. But every morning I would pray for that. And before you knew it, those people were looking at me. By the end of the year, those people I was praying with were looking at me like I was crazy, saying, why are you praying for revival in a Christian school? Isn't that dumb? I said, no, idiot. Anyways, towards the end of that year, something happened in a chapel service, and man, a revival broke out. Students started getting happy. In fact, some students said, I'm not saved, I need to get saved. And some students got saved. Some students went to teachers, and the teacher said, hey, let me show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And students had a zeal for God. Students were going on visitation on their own. They were telling their friends about Christ, and they were doing all this great stuff. Why? Because they didn't give up on others. Lastly, this woman did not give up on God. See, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. You see, this woman, widowed woman, never gave up on God. She never gave up on him. She never gave up on God. Knew that God was going to come through. Knew that God wanted her there. And so she never gave up on him. How many years have you given up on God? He said, no, it's not worth it. Church isn't worth it. Reading my Bible's not worth it. Praying's not worth it. You've given up on God. You've given up on him. Or maybe you've given up on yourself. Or you've given up on others. You got a friend. You know that maybe he needs to change or she needs to change or you ought not to hang around them. See, according to the Bible, if we live these principles, it's going to make a difference in your school here. What kind of school do you want? You want a school, man, that loves the Lord, that excited about God and the things of the Lord, and excited when people get saved, excited, or you just want a social gathering, where you just come? See, I didn't care what my friends thought about me when I was in school. I was going to do what's right. And I wasn't going to give up. Maybe you've given up on something today. And I'm just about done here. If you're here today and you are not saved, God's speaking to you today. I know this message wasn't basically with salvation. I had the Lord laid this other message here on my heart. If you're here today and you're not saved, though, you know, the Lord speaking to you, something to take care of today. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't Don't worry about what your friends think. I remember when it came time for me to get baptized, I remember sitting in the pew there. I knew I had to go forward to talk to the pastor for baptism. And I got saved in my house, but my feet were stuck in the pew. I couldn't move because I was afraid of what somebody else thought. And I remember being under such conviction. I was standing there in the preaching in Bristol, Connecticut, and my sweat pouring down my face under such conviction, knowing I had to be baptized. And so, it came to a point where I saw my brother, Tim, get up off there, went forward, and kneeled up at the altar for something. I had no idea what he went up for, but I said, that's it. If he can do it, so could I. And I got up, I went, I kneeled down. And then I talked to the pastor, said, I need to be baptized. But you want to know something? Even after I was saved, I told all my friends about it. Don't worry about what they think. We're talking about heaven and hell in the balance here. Or maybe you've given up on God. Maybe here you are saved. Say, I've given up on God. I've given up maybe on yourself. Will you let God mold you and make you what he wants you to be? This widow here is a perfect example on how she never gave up on herself, never gave up on others, and she never gave up on God. Will you let God have your life? Do what you want him to do. You say, I can't. I don't know what God wants me to do. Pray that God will show you. If you want, I'll pray with you. Come to me after. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. We'll get down. I'll pray that God will show you your will and way in your life. And I'll put you on my prayer list and I'll pray for you. And if you do, God's will, how much easier it's going to be later on. And I'm just going to close in prayer right after I say this. I can talk to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parents who have told me, I wish I would have served God when I was a teenager, and it would have saved me all kinds of trouble, trials, and tribulation later on in life. Let God mold you. Let him yield you. Would you let him do it now? I love you. I'm praying for you. Everybody close your eyes. Nobody looking around. If you're here today, I know this wasn't basically a salvational message, but I don't want anybody looking around, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody here this morning. But if you're here today and you say, Brother Sousa, I am not sure that I'm saved. Will you pray for me? I'm not going to call you out. Will you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. I would love to pray for you. I am not saved. Will you pray for me today that I may know for sure? Is anybody hands with nobody looking around? With that testimony, everyone here is telling me that they are saved. Well, how about it then, Christian? Will you raise your hand now and say, Brother Sousa, will you pray for me that God will mold me and yield me to his will? Will you raise your hand? Yes. Thank you, sir, in the back. You may put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Will you pray for me that God will mold me, yield, and make my will? Yes. Thank you, gentlemen up front. Anybody? Yes. Young lady? Yes. Anybody else? Thank you. You may put your hand down. I'm going to pray for you now. But listen to me. Listen to me. Carefully. Are you serious about it? If you are, remember this widowed lady and never give up on God, yourself, or others when you're letting God mold you and mold them in his will. Lord, pray for these that raised their hand this morning. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would just help them, Lord, that they'll be molded in your will. And, Lord, I just pray that they themselves, Lord, that years down the road, I can look at them or maybe come across them, and they can shake my hand and say, praise the Lord, it is fun serving God. Oh, Lord, I pray for these. I pray for them as the devil will try and stop them from being yielded and doing your will. Oh, Lord, may they never give up. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.